versus Scott Wood.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. My name is Alan Downen. I represent the plaintiff appellant, Jackie Youngblood. Your Honor, the overwhelming weight of the evidence in this case supported the verdict for the plaintiff for one simple reason, and that is because there was no force at all necessary to effect this arrest. None at all. At the time that the officer effected the arrest, the plaintiff was handcuffed behind his back. He was not making any aggressive moves towards the officer. He had not verbally threatened the officer, and he was just standing by his truck, offering no resistance whatsoever.
How about that truck door?
Okay.
How about that truck door shutting and pinning the officer?
Well, it didn't pin the officer. The evidence was that the defendant had been handcuffed and placed by his truck. The door was open. The officer had bent down to search in the vehicle, apparently to search for alcohol or other contraband. And the door closed on the officer. The only evidence was that the plaintiff said that he turned around to tell the officer he didn't have permission to search the vehicle, and his arm hit the mirror, causing the door to close. The officer didn't see how the door closed, but the door did hit the officer on the leg, and it moved the officer an inch or so, I believe, with the testimony, into the doorstop, but it didn't hurt the officer at all. There was no injury to the officer at all. And then the officer got up, and this is when the force ensued. The officer testified that he shoved the plaintiff into the side of the truck, and his own words were with force. And there's nothing in the record at all that indicates there was any necessity whatsoever to use that type of force to effect this arrest. The officer at the time was armed, and any threat that he may have subjectively felt could easily be dealt with a show of force by his gun. The evidence showed that there was a major dent in the side of the plaintiff's truck where the plaintiff impacted the truck, and the evidence further showed that the plaintiff had extensive bruising and that his shoulder hurt for some period of time after the incident.
What kind of a show of force would his firearm you have in mind?
Well, if he was trying to subdue the plaintiff, he could just tell, look, I'm armed, or he could pull the gun. He was in a vastly superior position to a person who's handcuffed behind their back. So anything he needed to do to subdue this individual easily could have been dealt with without hurting him, because the plaintiff was not in a position to do anything at that time. And in fact, he wasn't doing anything. He was just standing there. He didn't offer to run. He wasn't threatening. He wasn't making any aggressive move at all towards the officer. The officer just grabbed him and shoved him into the truck with such force that it left a major dent in the truck and bruised the plaintiff's arm and shoulder very extensively.
Wasn't the jury allowed to believe that the door closing could have been intentionally through the acts of your client?
I assume they could have. There was a count for false arrest, but that's not the subject of this appeal. But I suppose, yes, the jury could have believed that. But even if they did believe that, the officer was not hurt at all with that incident. He was only moved.
No, but he's trying to get in, and he's knocked when your man jars the door and pins him in it.
Well,
As I said earlier.
He didn't pin him.
He didn't use a pin rod or anything else.
No,
he shut the door on him.
Right, but what I take from what you say is that the door closed on him where he couldn't get out or something like that. It just merely hit his...
It closed on him and he got banged around.
Well, not banged around. No, it moved him a couple inches by his own testimony where his shoulder hit the doorstop. It wasn't a forceful event at all.
Aren't we basically here arguing a jury question? And the jury heard all this. The jury came out the other way. I mean, well, what is there an appellate court can do about this?
Well, the law, as I understand it, on excessive force is that the officer can use only that force that is reasonably necessary to effect the arrest. And there are a number of cases that are cited in the briefs that when no force is necessary to make the arrest, none should be used.
So we'd have to hold it that there was no evidence from which a jury could conclude that this force was reasonable.
Yes, because there was no evidence in the record at all. I mean, what you're doing is taking...
See, that gets back to the point you said that he couldn't do anything. I assume you're saying that because he was handcuffed behind his back, but the fact is that the door was closed. That doesn't prevent him from using his feet. He's 5 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier than the officer.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the officer's got to make sure that he's not either a flight risk or doing something else.
Well,
that's where you get into the issue of whether or not what was done after the door closed was reasonable.
Obviously, the jury didn't believe your man.
Well, I would take that as well.
Yeah.
But not only didn't believe him, but didn't believe any of the other witnesses at all. But to go back to your point, I think what you have to do is you have to judge when the officer gets up to arrest the plaintiff for aggravated battery, what does he face at that point in time? What does he face?
He faces a man that is about twice his size.
Right, who's handcuffed behind his back,
yeah. Who
is not trying to flee, who's not making any aggressive move to him, who's not resisting.
Well, does he make an aggressive move? This man said, I don't want you looking into my truck.
Right.
And the officer proceeded to try to get into the truck. And yeah. Then the man comes by and with his shoulder, according to the testimony, shut the door on the officer who was partway inside the truck. And that's what the jury believed.
Apparently they believe that.
And you're asking us to overturn the jury verdict.
I'm asking
which
you to over.
Almost insurmountable.
I'm asking you to overturn the jury verdict because of the law on excessive force. Again, you have to judge the force that is used by what the officer faces at the time. And when he got up to go around and arrest this individual for aggravated battery, he faced a gentleman who was standing there with his hands behind his back, who was offering no resistance, who was not verbally threatening the officer, who was doing nothing at all to prevent being arrested for that offense. And so taking him and shoving him into the door in such a way that it made a major dent in the truck, and in such a way that it left...
Wasn't Mr. Youngblood there? He's screaming and hollering and interfering with the officers' performance of his duties.
Well, that
when
that
he shut the door on him as he's going in there to look for alcohol.
No, that happened before. There was some testimony before. See, he was initially.
That's all part of the same situation, though.
Well, it happened before he was arrested.
Sure, it happened before. Things have to happen before and after.
He was arrested for illegal transportation, which is a petty offense. And he was handcuffed behind his back for a petty offense in which you can't even go to jail.
You told us that.
Right. The most compelling evidence, I believe, that the jury heard and which they apparently just completely disregarded was an individual who passed by, who had no stake whatsoever in the outcome of this case. He passed within 10 feet of this incident, who described an officer taking a man who was handcuffed behind his back, slamming him into the side of a vehicle with such a force that it made a loud popping sound, and in which this passerby described the event as he thought that somebody must have been killed in order for the officer to treat someone like he did. So the jury heard all this evidence. It heard evidence of jailers who saw the plaintiff after he was arrested, who attested that he didn't have any bruises on him at the time. The plaintiff then went to a doctor When he was released from jail several days later, the doctors, one doctor took pictures of his condition, showed multiple bruises. He was very severely beaten by this incident, in which, again, he did absolutely nothing at the time to resist the offense.
What was the testimony, maybe disputed, about his comment when the officer first approached the truck?
When he first approached the truck, he was approaching the truck to because
now
he didn't think he had a sticker.
What did Mr. Youngblood say, at least according to the officer?
Well, I can't remember all the things that were said. There was
something about not getting out of the truck.
Yeah, he didn't want to get out of the truck, which he didn't have to.
You're going to have to call reinforcements.
That's what the officer said. He said.
I know, but
right. But he did get out of the truck. He did get out of the truck, and he got out. And the evidence shows that he got out without incident. And then he was handcuffed. So again, I think you have to look at it at the time that he was actually arrested. The force that was needed to subdue him.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
We will. All right, Counsel.
May it please the Court, I'm Assistant Attorney General Richard Huzzack, Counsel for the Defendant Scott Wood. And I urge the court in these circumstances not to overturn the district court's denial of the plaintiff's motion for a new trial. The district court did not abuse its discretion in denying that motion. The evidence amply supported the jury's verdict. The jury was entitled to and apparently did disbelieve the plaintiff's testimony and the testimony of his wife, friends, and relatives, and credited the testimony of the defendant. And taken in the light most favorable to the defendant, the evidence showed that the plaintiff, who is bigger, taller, heavier than the defendant, Mr. Wood, was becoming increasingly belligerent vocally. And in fact, I believe the question was asked whether he was yelling at the time that the officer was performing a lawful search of the vehicle pursuant to a lawful arrest. And the testimony by Officer Wood was that at that time, Mr. Youngblood was far enough away from the truck door that he could not have pushed it closed without making an assertive move. And then I'm reading from my brief at page 5, quoting the second volume of the transcript, starting at page 122. He was screaming to me to stop looking in his truck as the door was closing hard into my arm. The plaintiff would repeatedly insist that at the time that Officer Wood then came around the truck door, grabbed Mr. Youngblood by the arm, and pushed him forcefully into the truck, at that precise moment that the plaintiff was not threatening Mr. Wood. The reality is that you don't take a freeze frame perspective from the bright light of hindsight and isolate it from all of the preceding events just a moment earlier and look with the benefit of this hindsight to determine what the least amount of force necessary to subdue the individual is.
How many people were at the scene when this occurred? I know Mr. Youngblood's wife. Was there anybody else?
Mrs. Youngblood's wife, and at the moment that the officer pushed Mr. Youngblood into the side of the truck, which he admitted he did with some force, although there was only temporary minor bruising. There was the passerby, an elderly gentleman driving by with his door open, who said he heard a loud bang, and his characterization, somebody must have been killed to warrant that, I think is the type of subjective thing that the jury weighed.
As far as occupants of the vehicle, it was just the wife.
Just the wife who basically said that other than this specific incident, she had her eyes closed and didn't see what happened with respect to the rest of the event. And so it is essentially based upon an erroneous legal premise that the plaintiff proceeds in support of his argument to reverse the jury's verdict and the district court's denial of the motion for a new trial, and that is that no force was permissible, and the cases he cited do not support that proposition. or that the law required the least amount of force necessary to get control of the situation. And again, the cases simply do not support that. The only issue for the jury to decide was whether what Officer Wood did was reasonable in the totality of the circumstances, given essentially the immediately preceding events. I'm loath to use the Latin phrase res gestae, but it sort of captures the image of this sequence of events, I think, particularly well. And given that perspective, the split-second judgment that the officer had to make, the fact that he had been physically assaulted by a bigger man, which is the best evidence of whether he was in fact going under threat of an additional physical violence, justified what he did in these circumstances. The evidence shows that he immediately de-escalated, and essentially that was the end of the incident. Unless the court has any particular questions about the relevant legal principles or the particular disputes in the evidence or the factual testimony, I'd be glad to relinquish the rest of my time and urge the court to affirm the district court's judgment in this case.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
How much time does he have? Your time is up. You used it all. I'll give you 1 minute, please. You did use it all. That light was on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Those Graham factors, the Supreme Court in Graham said there are certain factors that are present in determining whether there's excessive force, whether the suspect poses an immediate threat, whether he's actively resisting, whether he's attempting to evade. None of those apply here. And whatever the officer had to do here, he didn't have to shove him with such force that it would make a major dent in the vehicle. He could have grabbed him, possibly, if he even felt that there was anything he needed to do to subdue him. But the question is, what did he have to do to make the arrest? What did he have to do to subdue this person? And there's no evidence whatsoever that what he did was within reason at all. Nothing.
And but the other 12 jurors didn't agree with your summation or your argument.
That's exactly right, but that's why we have motions for new trials.
But that's why you have 12 jurors, too.
Yes, sir, that's
independent veneermen.
Yes, sir, that's correct. I think it's a matter here of what the law is in relation to excessive force and what evidence was presented in that regard.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
You did very well on behalf of your client. Well, thank you.